It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
It is Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Jeremy White, Nate Geary, Joe's off today. Sal Capaccio popping in for this Football Friday ahead of Bills Chiefs. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're all right. We're all right. Nate's here very much on the side of the game. He can't get up for it. There's not much in this game for him, which I've heard some Bills fans say. But either way, I mean, in the NFL, this is a big one, right? Like the league, the fact that the CBS, I didn't know the CBS Today show, that showed never gone on the road before, and they're doing it for this one, which I think says a lot about the atmosphere they're expecting for a 4:25 kickoff at Highmark.
I believe they haven't gone on the road for a regular season game, right? They usually do for the championship, but you're right. I had not either until I heard that. That means it's big, obviously, and we know that. I mean, this late in the season, to have two teams playing that have a combined two losses, obviously both from one team, but pretty remarkable. Look, I get the feelings. I understand it. As I've said all week, it kind of feels like a no-win situation in a lot of ways for the Bills, right? If they lose to this team, it's the same old, it's the mantra will be from a lot of people. Well, there you go. You can't beat the Chiefs in a big game. Sean McDermott can't beat Andy Reid. Critical game. They were never that good anyway. I mean, that's what people will say, believe, whatever. If they win, a lot of those same people, a lot of people will say, I don't care. Do it in the playoffs. You've done this before. What does it matter? So I get it from that respect. But I still think that, you know, it's still fun. It's a great test. It's a big game. And you are playing for seeding in your conference. And right now where the Steelers are and the Ravens are, you know, if you stumble, you could wind up the third or even the four. Having the two seed at worst would still be better than the three seed, because the difference is if you, in the second round, if those teams match up, it's where the game is played. So that matters. You know, I think that there's a lot of new faces on the Bills this year. We know that. They haven't been necessarily a part of this rivalry. They haven't been a part of what's happened in the playoffs. I think it's important for those teams to beat Kansas City and those players, excuse me, to beat Kansas City and see, hey, you know what? Hey, yeah, they're not invincible. We can go out there and beat them. I just think there's a lot of reasons why it's still important. And then once you get to 4:25, I'm guessing Nate will feel a little bit different.
One thing about it I might agree with is, like, if this were week 16, I might get to this spot where the Chiefs would have to lose out in order to lose the one seed. There's a lot of season left, you know. So you said no win. I almost kind of it's the same thing. Only I almost think it's a no lose game for the Bills, because if they win, we feel great and the race is still on. And if they lose, well, use the same methodology about, well, only matters what happens in January. I'll very quickly, if they lose this game, get to like, all right, fine, whatever. You're going to win the division, and you're probably going to have to beat them in the playoffs or somebody in the playoffs. So I'm kind of at a no lose view for this game. The one thing I wonder about, and Nate brought this up from a scheme standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, is this a game where, in your experience talking to coaches, you know, you don't let everything hang out here? The flip side of that might be you put some weird stuff in so that they spend time on it the next time you play. Like, how much of a cat and mouse game is there between coaches that know they're going to play each other a second time, because, you know, it's not a divisional game, but, you know, playing a team twice in the same year is not unusual in the NFL, and the Bills obviously know there's a very high likelihood they could play again.
It's a great question, and I would say it does happen for sure, especially in division games. This is not, but you may see this team again in the playoffs, and I think that there's definitely a little bit of that, which is, yeah, you're gonna do what you can to win this game. You might not want to show everything, though. You might want to show some things where you want to see how they work. You think they will, but now in the second game, if you do play them again, you're going to have to adjust that. So, no doubt. Steve Tasker brought this up yesterday on One Bills Live. He actually said that, which is, you know, maybe you put some things in there where you have no intention of necessarily doing the next time you play them, if you do, but it's just something for them to think about the next time. And that could go for both sides, right? The Bills would have to be aware of that from the Chiefs. You know, do the Chiefs play this game the same way they would play them if they were here for the playoffs? Do they play them the same way they did last year in the playoffs? You know, what the Bills are preparing for. So I do think that there's got to be an element of that. And I totally understand, Jeremy, where you say it's also a no-lose game. And that's why I think maybe some people are a little more, I don't know if apathetic is the word, right? I'm not going to put words in like Nate's mouth or anything to say apathetic. I get it, though.
Oh, I use that.
Okay, well, there you go. You did.
Can I put a term on it?
I don't know. Go ahead. What is it?
My term is, we're so used to being so nervous all the time, you're just not panicking.
Yeah, I'm not nervous.
And that, you're not panicking, and that's a foreign feeling.
Yeah.
I'm actually comfortable heading into this game. Which is somewhat of a compliment to the Bills, because what you're effectively saying is, like, I think the Bills are good, and, you know, you could lose a coin toss, and I still am going to think they're good, and the season's still got places to go.
I'll go a step further. If one of the teams beat the other 35-10 in this game, the season's not over. It doesn't matter, right, from that. It matters on the scoreboard that you lost. Just counts as a loss, like it would have if you lost 24-21 in week 6. It doesn't matter. So from that respect, right, no matter what happens in this game, both teams still play the rest of their season. This is not a winner moves on, loser goes home game. So it is, in that respect, it's fun too, right? And then The Bills do have a bye the following week. So I think how they approach the game from their health standpoint, how they approach the game from letting it all hang out and, you know, making sure that, hey, we got a bye next week, like all those things matter. So It's going to be fun, and you're right. I mean, the nervous part of it, if it comes down to the fourth quarter and it's a one-score game, of course, you want to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But you also know that if the Bills don't pull this one out, they're still playing the San Francisco 49ers in 2 weeks.
Sal, let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured, call injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. The news on Amari Cooper is good. It's from his mouth. Sounds like he thinks he'll play.
Yeah, that's what he said. He feels like he's trending towards playing. He even indicated he would play with the soft cast he has on. He's wearing it in practice. He has a glove over it. He's catching passes from Josh Allen with it. So it feels like, you know, why not? I mean, from all of that, the indication, then him saying it, of course, that's the biggest thing. Feels like that's the case. So I think the Bills are in line probably to have Amari Cooper. I don't know about Dalton Kincaid. I think Dalton Kincaid is the most concerning, because just based on what Spencer Brown told us the other day, like he said it was getting better every day. He felt that, you know, he was hopeful that he could wake up on Sunday morning and give it a go. Sean McDermott also was asked, are you hopeful about Spencer Brown? He said yes, but we haven't seen Dalton Kincaid out there either, and he has not participated 2 days in a row, and that would be the one to me where maybe you're not going to have the tight end. But we'll find out more today. Sean McDermott will join me at 10:45 on the Extra Point Show.
All right. Those are the three big names. Is there anybody else to keep an eye on?
No, only I wonder how they would treat it roster-wise, guys. We know Keon Coleman's not going to play, obviously, right? We know that. We also know Matt Milano's not going to play. And I bring him up because it was great seeing him, obviously, practicing yesterday. I have a bunch of video out. You can go watch it on my Sal Sports Twitter feed. And it was just great seeing Matt out there. He was wearing a red non-contact jersey. We know he's not going to play. He looked good. And he was, no limitations. He was doing everything everybody else was doing, what the linebackers were doing with his linebacker group. Interestingly, too, I noticed, and I remember I had said a couple weeks ago to you, Jeremy, about Lewis Cine and how, like, hey, this guy, I wonder if at some point this year he becomes a player where they use in a game plan situation as like a big nickel, big dime guy. Well, guess what? he was working with the linebackers yesterday again. And I just wonder. I noticed that because I was filming Matt, and he was over there, and you could see that. So that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, is this even a game like this? Would that be a game that they do that? Would it be something like later in the season, Kansas City again in the playoffs, given what they like to do? So it's just, I'm wondering, if you don't have Dalton Kincaid, do you elevate Zach Davidson? Zach Davidson has great hands. We saw that. He's not quite the blocker, though. He's not going to be helpful in that regard. So I think that those are things that you have to think about as far as a roster construction. And obviously, the big news from the Kansas City side, we just found out yesterday, Harrison Butker is out. Now, it's not official from the Chiefs, but from everybody else reporting on it, is that's a massive loss for them. I mean, you could make the argument that Harrison Butker being out could be bigger than Dalton Kincaid being out in this game, because the Bills have Dawson Knox, who is a very capable tight end. He's played very well against the Chiefs. The Chiefs have to go out, and they're signing a practice squad kicker from the Jets,
Spencer
on a
Schrader.
3 days notice to come play against the Bills.
Yeah, and kick in Buffalo. And the one thing about that, Sal, I don't know how long he's been with the Jets. The Jets have had kicker problems with Zuerlein all year and have not gone to Spencer Schrader, right? So,
right.
It's the kind of thing where when I saw somebody make this joke, I apologize, I forget who it was. It's a good thing the Bills didn't cut Tyler Bass, so then Tyler Bass could then go to the Chiefs for this game and kick the Chiefs to the win.
Yeah.
Like the downgrade from starting kicker to what you can find out there is massive.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And Butker's been great. He's been really good again this year. I think, I don't exactly know his stats off the top of my head here as I look, but I know especially against the Bills, he's been awesome, and we know that he's made some really clutch big kicks. But this is something I think that's been bothering him, and then finally it just got to a point. But what's interesting to me, guys, is this just happened out of the blue yesterday. He was not on the injury report on Wednesday, so that means they planned on him playing, and then something must have happened, and they decided on Thursday, this can't work, we can't have him. So everything you've planned for, special teams, and this matters, right? Everything you're doing, field goal-wise, kickoff-wise, operationally, from the snapper to the holder, this guy, the new kicker, is coming in on a Friday, essentially, to be the new kicker who's never kicked for that in that environment with those people. So I just think from that standpoint, it matters. Will it matter in the game? Who knows? I mean, maybe the guy winds up with a huge kick. Maybe he never has to kick at all. Maybe the Chiefs decide to go for two every time because they don't know if he can kick an extra point and trust him, right? I just think it's really fascinating how this storyline is starting to play out now.
Speaking of ripple effect, you mentioned Butker and how that affects things. Spencer Brown, okay, we hope he might be good to go. If he's not, who steps in? And, in terms of how things go down, the domino effects, now the six offensive linemen packaging, I would imagine, that's affected in a big way if Spencer Brown is potentially not available.
Yeah, that's a good point. So what they would probably do, first of all, Ryan Vandermark would be your starting right tackle. Ryan Vandermark played 9 snaps last week in place of Spencer Brown. He had a great block on Khalil Shakir's big, long third down screen pass in the fourth quarter. You know this just from the last 2 years, me talking to you, Jeremy. They really like Ryan Vandermark. He's a good player. They feel that he's a young player who can play both left and right tackle. He's not, to the level necessarily of the guys they have, which is why he's not a starter, and the other guys have been paid. But they're very comfortable with both Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson. But that still frees up Alec Anderson to be your sixth offensive lineman, because Alec Anderson is really more of your interior swing guy. But if you have to pull up another offensive lineman, I would think to me it'd be Richard Garage. Richard Garage has been on the practice squad all year. He actually had a really nice preseason. Some people thought he would make the team. I didn't think so because I knew how much they liked Vandermark and Alec Anderson. But I think play-wise, he's proven his worth that he can step in and be a backup, and that would probably be the move that they would make.
Sal, I actually wanted to ask you kind of bigger picture, because this has been me all week thinking about this game from a much bigger picture. I look at it from the Bills' perspective, and listening to some of the players talk this week, I definitely think this game means something to the Bills, and maybe there's a level of measuring stick for themselves, but I maybe want to feel that this game means a lot for the Chiefs for a couple reasons, but I think the most important reason is they have, I think, a unique opportunity to do something that no team has really done, right? Like, they want a three-peat, but they also have an opportunity to go undefeated and be the team that does what Brady never could, right? And then I think that there is something to be said about that. I don't know that it's really talked about a lot, but I really get the sense that if you're the Chiefs, that's why this game might mean more to you than any, because it's probably the hardest game remaining on their schedule.
Yeah, when they came into this year, the Chiefs clearly had a goal to be the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowls.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, we know that. And they've made moves, you know, to try and bolster that opportunity, especially as the season's gone on and they've kept winning. They've made trades, including DeAndre Hopkins, obviously. And why not? That's what you should do. I mean, I would want the Bills to do that, obviously. You always want to win, but man, you have a chance. You can go all in and we can be the first team. We can make history. Three straight Super Bowls. That'd be unbelievable. As the season's gone on and they keep winning, it becomes about also, oh yeah, they also have a chance to go undefeated. And that is now something they have a legitimate look at, especially if they beat the Buffalo Bills. You look at the rest of their schedule, it's doable. If they beat the Bills, it's doable. They can win the rest of their games. They have a couple of games in there. The Chargers, they still have to play, right? I think the Steelers are Christmas week. But that it's something that I think that they would obviously love to accomplish. There's no doubt about that. You know, so it from their perspective, sure, this game is really big. But I guarantee you this morning, there are Chiefs fans saying, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind getting a loss here. The pressure of being undefeated, right? How many times have you heard that from teams?
Definitely.
How many times you heard throughout the years when a team is undefeated later in the year, they're like, it's okay to get a loss. The pressure of not having to win every game and then playing Patrick Mahomes every week because of that, right? And risking that. So I do think that there's an element of that in this game as well.
You know what I also want to think about and talk about with you about this, Sal, is, you know, hearing some of the criticisms of this Chiefs team. Well, they're winning these one-score games, 7 of their 9 wins. Are in one-score games, right? I mean, they've played in a lot of one-score games. I genuinely think from the Chiefs, the best teams, like, tend to play a lot of one-score games because in the playoffs, they're all going to be one-score games, right? Largely.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs get more practice in those situations than anybody else. The Bills have the largest, you know, every year their, you know, differential is always either at the top of the league or right there in the top 2 or 3. And not that the Bills don't play a lot of one score games because they have this year. But the best team, Sal, they play close games. They know how to win them. And when it comes time for January, they're not afraid of those moments. And I do think there's something to be said about that for the best teams in the league and the best quarterbacks, frankly.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and the Chiefs have been involved in many of those. But as you point out, I think for a while there, Nate, you know, it was, remember a couple of years ago that it was the Bills had not a good record in one-score games. They just, they won really big or they lost really small. In fact, they had the NFL record until earlier this year against Baltimore. Until that game against Baltimore, they've gone almost 50 straight games without losing a game by more than one score. Because when they lost, it was only by one score. When they won, it was big. But this year, that has flipped a little bit. And they have won some very close games. It's interesting to me. The Texans game, obviously, there was a lot that happened at the end of the game, and rightfully so. There was criticism how the Bills handled it, no doubt about that. And those things popped up again, which is Sean McDermott, his coaching staff, they can't win one-score games. But they have this year. They've won one-score games this year. The following week, they beat the Jets 23-20 and closed it out. And then against the Miami Dolphins, 30-27, they closed it out. Now, I know the Colts was not a one-score game, but I think it spoke volumes last week of how they handled that four-minute offense when they just needed to go down and score to put the game away. That's a closeout drive, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And the Bills have had experience in these types of situations, and that's going to serve them well. What really helps them is their turnover differential and not turning the ball over. Josh had two bad ones last week. There's no doubt about it. The Bills lead the NFL in turnover differential. The Chiefs are a -4 in turnover differential, right? And despite that, they're still winning these close games because they're the Kansas City Chiefs. They know how to make plays. You want to know, if you want an indication about how good the Chiefs are adept at, you know, making plays in key moments, they're over 50% on third down. I mean, when you're this late in the year and over 50% on third down, holy cow. Last year, no team in the NFL finished over 50% on third down. The Bills actually did 2 years ago. I looked it up. But it's remarkable to be there. So that just shows you how good they are at making these critical plays in these critical moments.
Sal Capaccio, coming up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, you said, you know, you'll talk to Sean McDermott. Mm-hmm. You having Pat Hammer on as well? Are we going to continue, Sal? I mean, I don't know the science for it. It's the best stadium weather year yet that I can remember.
It's unbelievable.
Every game has been amazing.
I'm not going to speak for Pat, but I looked at his forecast this morning. 55 and cloudy. Okay, we'll take it. Oh, my God. Yeah. Right? Like 4:25 p.m. game late in November, 55 degrees and maybe a little breezy, like up to 15-mile-an-hour winds at the most, whatever. But Pat will come by. We'll talk about that. Also, you know, we'll get a bit of a look on what the Sunday night game is Thanksgiving weekend, because I know last week there was some talk about maybe a system coming in next week during the bye weekend. You know, we'll see how much that lingers and where we are. And then after that, the Bills play two dome games, guys. They go to L.A., they go to Detroit, and then it's, you know, cold weather games, if you want to, you know, however you want to phrase that. It's twice against New England here and there and once against the Jets. So no doubt this is shaping up to be a fun, and by the way, a later game, 4:25, tailgating is going to be going on for a little bit longer in this game. Yep. And like Nate said, like you guys said, it's more of a game maybe where just go have fun in this game, man, because whether you win or lose, sure, it matters on the record. It doesn't end your season. It doesn't win the Super Bowl. Neither one of those is true. So maybe, you know, fans just let it hang out and have some fun this weekend.
Sal Capaccio. So, McDermott, what time are we expecting?
10:45 is what I expect him today.
Okay, very good. That'll be coming up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio joining us on this Football Friday. It's brought to you by, Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law, Car Crash Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Jeremy White, Nate Geary with you. You can give us a call, 803-0550. We will, of course, very soon, we will remember some Chiefs. Got to do that every Friday. Football Friday tradition, we randomly name former players on the opposing team. Who's not current, Nate? Who's the first Chief you think of? Name a Chief.
Priest Holmes.
Not a bad one.
Yeah. Trent Green as well. That's one that pops in my head.
Okay. Give me... I want to dig deeper here. Neil Smith.
Okay.
Let's look back a little farther.
Sure.
Yeah. Neil Smith. All right, we'll get a few more in. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. It is Buffalo Bills Football Friday. You can give us a call. Open phone lines. What's your feeling? No win scenario? No lose scenario? Had them both laid out there by Sal, by us, as we approach Bills and Chiefs Sunday, 4:25 here on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Across, one timer scores! Rasmus Dahlin with the overtime winner! Is a delicious finish by the captain, and the Sabres take it 4-3.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. One of the first moments of the game. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. All right. Football Friday. Jeremy White, Nate Geary. Nate's in for Joe today. I have two very quick ways to convince you, Nate, the person that says this game's meaningless. Mm-hmm. I've got two quick ways to give it more meaning that you are overlooking right now, and then we'll get some calls in. Number one, It's heading to the bye week. The sour taste will last longer. You will not have another game to take your attention away in 6 days.
What if I'm not sour, though? I won't feel good, but I'm not sure I'm going to be – I'm not going to be pouting.
Okay. All right. Fine. You don't like that one? I got one more, and then we'll let the callers take over. If Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were to win this game, he'd be 3-0 at – ready? Mahomes Mark Stadium. Kind of like Burrowhead. Can't they just start calling it Mahomark Stadium?
Well, I hate that you did. Not going to lie. I mean, that's now it's out there. So if it, at least we know if that catches on that you started it.
I'll start making shirts. Alan is up next. Alan, good morning. You're on WGR and Football Friday.
Good morning, guys. That's actually what I was just calling about. The fact that if he's 3-0, and I don't know if we're going to have a chance to play him next year in Buffalo or not, but for Josh Allen not to get a win against him before we go to the new stadium, that just, you know, it doesn't sit well. I don't think any of the fans, even going back to like the drought years, like Alex Smith and Jamal Charles, I just remember Jamal Charles breaking a long run for a touchdown and, you know, us losing to them at home there too. I mean, I know that's totally different. Team and everything like that doesn't matter, but I don't remember the last time we beat Kansas City like at home, so that doesn't sit well, you know. So that's basically what I was calling about, and you guys are doing a great job, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Alan. I haven't thought about like they would not have won at Highmark. They'll be back here next year. I guess they'd have to host them.
Have to host them in the playoffs. Yeah.
That's a
good point.
That's something. And, of course, there's just the undefeated season portion of it. How about that one? It's Christmas Day. You're, you know, hanging out, relaxing. I'm going to watch some football. And then you get a barrage of the Chiefs are going to go undefeated on Christmas Day. You have a chance to kill that off Sunday. You're improving your own Christmas Day.
I guess that's right, yeah. I'm improving my Christmas in November. I'm still not buying it. I don't know.
All right, 803-0550. Bills and Chiefs, of course, on this game, what it means, all that good stuff. Mike in Orchard Park up next. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. So I've been thinking about this game, and I think this is going to be a real test for Sean McDermott, Joe Brady, Bobby Batch. Like, you know, Kansas City, we all know that, you know, Andy Reid's coaching staff, phenomenal. Like, top of the league, and I think it's going to be important for McDermott's younger staff to have a good game coaching wise. It's going to be a real big, important, you know, motivation going into the playoffs. I can't have McDermott's staff be out coached again. I can't have McDermott go up to the podium and say, "Yeah, I was just out coached," and him giving his reasons. I need a strong performance from his coaching staff to make me feel comfortable going into the playoffs, because roster-wise, I think we've been, you can make the argument who's better, but I think coaching has really kind of, made us lose these games in the past. So, I don't know. I guess for me, that's what's going to be important for me, win or lose, for going against the Chiefs this weekend.
Mike, let me ask you a question, follow-up, because, as you bring it about coaching and the coordinators, I think of it this way. As we're trying to, dig through what anything would mean, what would mean more to you? The offense has a great day against that Chiefs defense, which is said to be good, or the defense has a great day in shutting down Patrick Mahomes and company, which would mean a little more to you, granted it's, November.
I'm going to say the offense, because at the end of the day, you can't count Mahomes out, right? At the end of the day, we need to score more points than the Chiefs. And, I need to see a strong performance from my offense, because the defense has broken down in the playoffs. And, for me, I need my offense to go out there and have a strong performance.
Yep. They gave up, thanks very much. Look at the numbers they gave up. They gave up 25 to the Bengals, 18 to the Niners. Early in the season, the Ravens got 20. Like, it's not a defense that's giving up a lot of points, 24 to the Buccaneers. And got a couple stats for you on that Chiefs defense. So you've probably heard a lot how good they are against the run, right? They're a very good defense against the run. And yesterday, Mike Schoep was going through some of the stats. Like, the leading rusher against the Chiefs this year might have 58 yards. And all these teams they play against, this is something about the point about coordinators and game plan. And I understand that the context of a game coming up in January has to always be there. Like, I understand a lot of what you're saying, Nate. I get it. What I want to know about this game is if the Bills will do what everyone else has done with the Chiefs, which is run it anyway while they're being stopped. I don't want to see a stat line of James Cook 16 for 34.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these teams are doing that with the Chiefs, trying to keep their offense off the field, trying to grind out yards because this Chiefs defense is good. I feel like if the Bills are going to be a 16 for 37 game on the ground, then they're playing right into their hands. I like when the Bills run the ball when it's working.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not working, I don't like being faithful to it. I don't need to be faithful to it if it doesn't work because I have Josh Allen, and that's a game breaker in a lot of ways. You know, looking at this Chiefs defense, since they lost, who had this for me? Jalen Watson. So they lost Jalen Watson out of their defense in week 7. And since then, their secondary, their pass defense has not been very good. Vegas had their best pass EPA of their year against the Chiefs. The Bucs had a very good one without Evans and Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver last week, Bo Nix, it was his second best pass EPA game of the year against Kansas City. So I got three opponents where since they lost one guy in their secondary and they've had to replace him with Najee Johnson, all of a sudden that perfectly built pass defense, full defense that carried them last year, like, they are a little bit susceptible now. And I want to make sure that if we're talking game plan stuff, I don't want to be too run heavy running into the strength of a Chiefs defense when I think that throwing it could be the way to beat them.
And on top of that, Jeremy, I think the Bills have done a nice job in their short passing game, making it look and feel like an extension of their run game. If they're going to, quote, run the football, I'd rather them get the ball out quickly out of Josh Allen's hands, get it to the running back and check downs. Because I think last year in the regular season, James Cook was a big weapon against this defense in the pass game. And I really think that should be a primary focus for Joe Brady in this game. Because I think if you want to line up and run duo and run up the middle on this Chiefs defense, you are playing into what they want you to do. These linebackers are very good run defenders. They are not very good pass defenders. And I think you have your mismatch right now is James Cook against these linebackers. And can you get him? I think you might see more two running back looks this week, especially with no Keon Coleman, potentially no Dalton Kincaid. You might see the most of Ray Davis / Ty Johnson on the field at the same time as James Cook, almost a little bit like what we saw yesterday from the Washington Commanders. They ran a ton of Eckler and Robinson out there. Eckler, I mean, when I went to bed, had like 8 for 90. I don't know what he finished with, but they kind of just checked the football down and kept moving the football that way. And to me, that's an extension of your run game. And I should consider it the same way I consider turning around and handing it off on duo looks and, you know, and pin and pull looks. Like, I just don't think, you know, double teaming Chris Jones and asking, you know, James Cook to read those blocks and get through the middle of this defense is really going to be their recipe. And they don't, and they have not really been a team that wants to, like, you know, hit the edges in their run game. It's very rare they're running toss sweeps or they're, you know, hitting the edges, even though they've got James Cook, who's got some pretty good foot speed and can beat defenders to the edge. So I think for me, like in this game, the short passing game and the passing game to the running backs, I think has to be a primary use for them because I think that's where their best matchup is against this defense and these linebackers.
This also gets to a point about Amari Cooper. Like, we've not really even seen him. We saw a game and a little bit more in Seattle and not much else. And true or false, Nate, in order for the Bills to win the Super Bowl, the Cooper trade has to be a big one. They have to really have hit on that. True or false?
True.
You think they can win without it? I don't. So if I'm treating this like any other game, not just the Chiefs and everything that comes with the Chiefs, then, hey, Cooper's back. He says he's good to go. Okay, good. They have a good defense. Let me see my new number one receiver against a good defense. I mean, if you want to talk about the idea of re-signing Cooper, this game matters quite a bit to me. Is he someone that can get off on them a little bit? Because if he is, then that's the kind of guy I need in my lineup. Like, I'm thinking about the potential for Dalton Kincaid to miss this game, and I could be wrong about this, but I am not that concerned about it. Doesn't mean that I think Kincaid is no good, but Dawson Knox has been very good against the Chiefs for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Kincaid missing, I've got a tight end that doesn't get the ball anymore in Knox as much as he used to. But when he did, he was perfectly fine in a lot of the things that they did. So if Kincaid's out, it changes how they have to do things. I get that. But I don't worry about it the way that I would have worried if Cooper were, in fact, going to miss this game.
Yeah, and listen, it will be nice to see what Cooper adds to this offense. I'm kind of, I don't know. There's going to be a drop or two in this game from Cooper, I think. There's probably going to be a little frustration as he comes back from this injury. He should play an impact in this game. I'm interested in the Trent McDuffie aspect of this game. So Trent McDuffie, their slot corner. I mean, the Bills in back-to-back weeks are probably playing the first and third best slot corners. I'm going to slot, Taron Johnson between the two. Kenny Moore last week and Trent McDuffie this week. Because Snead's not there anymore, you're seeing Kansas City use Trent McDuffie on the outside more than they ever have. So it's not that McDuffie's just going to stand in the slot and try to take away Khalil Shakir. I think that they might go with that game plan. What you need is Amari Cooper to pull them out of that game plan. Because if you can get, to me, the goal for Joe Brady should be to try to get Khalil Shakir set up against someone other than Trent McDuffie. And if you can accomplish that, I think you can go a long way in beating this Chiefs defense and putting points up against this Chiefs defense. You have to sort of dictate the matchups in this game. And without Cooper in the game, I would agree there would be very little chance that they could dictate matchups. And I think they'll have an even better chance once Keon Coleman's back in the lineup as well.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Brent is up. Hey, Brent in Tonawanda, what's up? Oh, we can take a break instead. All right, Brent, hang on. We're going to get you instead. Sorry, I wasn't looking at the clock. It's Football Friday on WGR. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Be caller 5 or 6 to win a combo ticket to the Total Sports Public autograph signing. November 16th, tomorrow at TSC Buffalo and Orchard Park. This combo ticket will give you the opportunity to get an This combo ticket will give you the opportunity to get an item autographed by Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, Shane Conlon, and Reuben Brown. Bring your own item or purchase an item at the event. Visit tsebuffalo.com for other ticket options and details. Caller 5 or 6. Going to win? Call 716-221-4WGR. Jeremy White and Nate Geary ahead of Bills Chiefs. Nate, you just sent me something, NFL on CBS recap of the Bills Chiefs history here.
13 seconds.
Sweet.
It's awesome.
Listen.
It's amazing.
You want to talk about 13 seconds for
not
a minute?
Really.
You don't have to.
We can.
That game featured like 7 plays where the Chiefs probably felt like they should have won it too.
Yeah.
For all you want to say about how the Bills gave it away in 13 seconds, the Bills scored a touchdown on a 4th and 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like there was a lot of bad, finger quotes, bad plays. Was Andy Reid, was Steve Spagnuolo a genius that day?
He was right? Not.
They lost Tyrann Mathieu early in the game, and whatever. Anyway, we'll talk about that. One thing happened in last night's game, very interesting in the Eagles and Commanders game, is that there's a new name in football cornerbacking, Quinyon Mitchell. If this dude is playing against your fantasy wide receiver, do not play your fantasy wide receiver. He locked up Terry McLaurin yesterday. There's a couple guys that are doing this now, like erasing the other opponent. Patrick Surtain has done this in Denver. He did that last night. McLaurin did next to nothing. And, Nate, I'm sure you listen Thursday mornings when me, Joe, and Josh put together our three-way, three-leg parlay on Thursday Night Football. So we each pick a leg. Mine hit, Joe's hit, and Josh lost for us. Now, we've added in a punishment. We're going to start keeping stats. The punishment, whoever has the worst record of picking, the part of their parlay by Christmas, must watch the Holiday Hallmark Channel Chiefs Christmas special.
Wow, that is...
Are you aware of
these? Are stakes? There's stakes to play here.
I saw the trailer and I'm very scared for myself. I have to watch this.
Holiday Touchdown: A Chiefs Love Story.
Nope. So respectfully, I'm out.
Well, you're not in on this right now. Josh is 0-1, and he is leading the charge.
Sorry, Josh.
If I have to do this, I'm going to be so upset.
A Chiefs Love Story. Who would not want to watch that?
You guys might be posting a help wanted for a new producer.
What was the name of that movie that made it to theaters? The Brady one, 80 to Brady, or something like that.
80 for Brady.
Man,
I think this might be worse.
They have to beat the Chiefs.
It's probably worse.
They have to beat them. They can't have every single thing go their way all the time forever and have people just be okay with it. Like you seem to be. Until January, of course.
Until January.
It's a football Friday. We check in with Chris Brown. He'll have the call of the game from Highmark Stadium. We'll check in with Chris Brown at 8:30. Open lines for you. Also time to remember some Chiefs as we do on Fridays. Jeremy and Nate here on WGR Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.